Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and champion, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'd like to begin today, the Old Testament reading, 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 4. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. Verse 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. Just think of this. You know the story, David and Goliath, one of the greatest contests in human history. Who could fight him? Giant, 9 feet tall, massive armor. And, as you noticed, a helmet of bronze on his head. Over the last several weeks, we've been going through a sermon series on spiritual warfare, talking about the various weapons and armor that God gives us as Christians to fight with, based on Ephesians chapter 6. We've talked about the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, the equipment of the gospel of peace for our feet, the shield of faith. Today, we're talking about the next, though, the helmet. As it says in Ephesians chapter 6, stand therefore, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Who do you think is going to win? The man standing 9 feet tall with a helmet of bronze on his head? Or the ruddy youth standing there without such, but with a helmet of salvation upon his head? That's what we're talking about today, is the helmet of salvation. And this is not just a metaphor only. This is a real helmet. You are to put on salvation every day as a Christian soldier. And it's important to wear this helmet. As you're going to see, it did something to David. And when you wear it, it's going to do something to you, to transform your mind, to protect your head as a covering, and to actually make you be all that you can be in the Lord's army, right? So we don't want to be like the people of Israel, the ranks of Israel. What's it say of them? 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And if you were to look on their heads, there were helmets of bronze upon the ranks of Israel. But David was altogether different. The only one who wore the helmet of salvation, which is given for you to wear as Christians. And it says that David said to the men who stood by him, verse 26, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? That's the helmet of salvation speaking, guarding his head and his mind, giving him clarity and confidence and calm in the face of this danger. And then David said to Saul, verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Do you want to have this upon yourself? Well, we've talked about these other parts of the armor and weaponry, okay? Belt of truth, guarding your loins, breastplate of righteousness over your chest, over your heart. You have the feet, equipment of gospel peace, the shield, how it defends all of you. But here we're talking about protecting your minds as Christians. If you go into a battle, even boxers, what are they protecting up here? They're protecting their head. A crushing blow to the head, you know, is going to be devastating to you in a fight. And really, as Christians, in our spiritual battle that we wage, isn't the battle really in our head most of the time? Isn't that where doubts come? Fears, anxieties, worries, every attack of the evil one, although sometimes it's on the outside and afflictions, the real battlefield is up here. But we're talking today about a helmet that God wants to give you that really, truly can protect your thoughts and your minds. And actually, this helmet doesn't just do that. It's as if it glows with the light of heaven. Can you picture a helmet that's glittering better than bronze, glowing with divine light? And when you put it on your head, all of a sudden your mind just is soothed, made calm and clear and confident and serene and sure and trustworthy and all these good things. That's what this helmet does for us. We're going to talk about how to put that on today. But I'd first like to tell you, as your pastor, and if I may say, commanding officer of this detachment of the Lord's army, Wear your helmets. You've got to wear them. Remember Patton, that movie? You seen the movie? General Patton, World War II, he's in Tunisia. He meets American Army, the 7th Army, that's been just routed by the German panzer divisions under Rommel. And they've had themselves kicked, I'll put it that way. And Patton, though, arrives on the base, and remember what he says to Omar Bradley? He says, takes cigar out, in about 15 minutes, we're going to start turning these men into soldiers. He goes down there, reviews all the men, and what's he do? In every case, he says, where's your helmet, soldier? Where's your helmet, soldier? Why aren't you wearing your helmet? $20 fine there, $40 fine there. He goes into the Army hospital, and he says to the doctor, where's your helmet? And he says, I don't wear it in the hospital. He says, well, put it on. The guy says, well, if you please, sir, I can't wear it and use my stethoscope at the same time. Patton turns around. Well, drill two holes in your helmet and put it on. Beautiful. And I ain't no Patton, but I'm going to tell you this today. A soldier, you got to wear your helmet. You're not a soldier unless you wear a helmet. And a soldier puts it on in battle time, and we're always in battle. So we always got to put on the helmet of salvation as Christians. So I'd like to talk with you about three ways in particular that we can do that today, that I see it in the Scriptures, based on Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul says, stand therefore and take the helmet of salvation. So how do we do this? The helmet of salvation. Well, we're obviously putting salvation onto our minds, right? Isn't that the obvious meaning here? So I would say the first thing that you can do in order to keep a calm, clear, and steady head, no matter what, is that you would put onto your mind the salvation that has already been accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. Look to the past and see, what has God done for me? Let's take a look at Isaiah 59. See what it says there. It said, the Lord saw that there was no man, verse 16, and wondered that there was no one to intervene. Then his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he will come to Zion as Redeemer, to Jacob, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, says the Lord. So, if you're going to put on salvation, the first thing you got to do is put on what has God done for me in Christ. When he put on the helmet of salvation, is he came to save me. Now, I know in my life, and perhaps also in yours, you're going about your day and you're trying to have a good Christian attitude, and you might think, I feel apart from the Lord. I am worried a little bit about my relationship with him. I'm not doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. I could certainly be more than I am in the Lord's army. You know, be all you can be. Oh, I'm not being all I can be. And you're starting to get anxious and worried, and the devil is trying to hit you and batter you and throw you this way and that to make you unsteady. And if you get a hit in your head, you start getting confused, bewildered in the battle. What do you got to do? Put this helmet of salvation on and say, what has God done for me in Christ? And let that be the focus and the gaze and the meditation of your mind at that moment. You can say this. This is the testimony in 1 Peter 3. Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. So the first thing you've got to do when you're starting to wonder and be knocked off balance as a soldier with regard to your faith, and it's tottering, and you're getting befuddled and messed up, is to remember, my salvation is a finished work. Christ has done everything necessary to reconcile me to God, to forgive my sins, and therefore I know through faith I have righteousness reckoned to me. I've been recovered. I've been rescued. I've been reconciled. I've been ransomed. I've been redeemed. And therefore, I should be rejoicing in God, my Savior. You know what I'm saying? So when you're going to put on the helmet of salvation, you got to first remember what God has entirely accomplished for you. So that you can say, like the woman in Scotland, an elderly woman, she was firm in her assurance of her salvation. And a young man came to her and questioned her about that. How can you really know for sure? Tried to put doubts in her mind. And she says, if I were to lose my salvation, if I were to be thrown and sink into hell after what God's done for me, then he'd have to lose more than I would. What do you mean? Said the young boy. Well, I would be thrown into hell, and I'd lose my soul, but God would have to lose his good name. You see, we have a God, my friends, who cannot lie. He's never lied in all of history. And his promise is reconciliation and redemption and forgiveness for all who come to his Son and believe in him. It's impossible that God should prove false when Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He's not come into punishment, judgment, but has passed from death into life. And so if you want to put on the helmet of salvation, you've got to be able to say with Paul, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. You look to the finished work of Christ. It's been done. God has saved you. So that way you can be protected when you are assailed by doubts and nervousness and worries with respect to your position with God. God has saved you in Christ, and you've received that through faith. And then secondly, another way to put this on is to remember not only what God has done for you in the past, but then to apply that to your present life situation. Because if I were to ask you right now, I could probably have sermons till doomsday about the Goliaths you're facing right now. The Goliaths of Gath, the Goliaths of finance, the Goliath of economics, or of a personal struggle, or of some tragedy, or of some temptation you're under. Lots of Goliaths out there. But what you got to do next with this helmet is remember God has saved me in the past. He's going to do the same thing for me today. He's not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. He's the right hand of God. And as God delivered me then from my sins, he's going to deliver me today from these smaller things in my life. That's what David did. Look at what it says in 1 Samuel 17. He said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And David and Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. And also, Paul said, we were so utterly unbearably crushed in Asia that we despaired of life itself. Why, we felt that we'd receive the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he will deliver us. On him we set our hope, that he will deliver us again. So, I want to ask you right now, are you sure, whatever your Goliath is right now, that you are going to conquer? If you're wearing the helmet of salvation, and you're going to put on this belief that God saved me in the past, and he is the same yesterday and today and forever, I know today he'll do the same. There may have been a paw of a lion and a bear in the past. I can take on Goliath today. He's with me. He's going to save me. So you think Goliath has a helmet of bronze on his head. The world puts a helmet of bronze on its head. I'm going to trust in my money. Well, fat chance now that the economy's not doing so well. That was just a paper hat. Or trust in your own strength and whatnot. No, we trust in the Lord who has been faithful in the past. He's going to be faithful again today. And when David drew near to the Philistine, he ran quickly to the battle line to meet him. And what did David wear at that time? Remember, he tried to put on the armor, the helmet of bronze. He said, I can't go with these. They're not good for me. All I need is a sling and a stone because I got the helmet of salvation. And it transformed his mind to be confident, calm, and clear, whereas everybody else was in a big what? Answer it for me. I don't know. Turmoil. Thank you. Where were you last night when I was writing this? Can you say today, honestly, look at me right now. Can you say the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and it delivers them? Do you believe that? Do you believe, as David said in Psalm 27, though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear? The war arise against me, yet I'll be confident? Don't you see that that helmet is controlling his mind, or at least transforming it to be something more than what he would normally be? If you put on the remembrance, not only that God has accomplished your salvation, but that he's your present-day Savior, you're going to stand up to every Goliath and say, oh, you're looking pretty big today. That helmet's looking pretty glittering in the sun, but I got a God who's a lot bigger than you. And his helmet shines with the radiance of heaven. And he's going to crush you under my feet. I defy you this day, O Goliath. And so God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And even therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, though the economy should fall, though we go to war with Russia, though whatever should happen in the world, yet I will be confident, for the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge, and thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So that's number two. Remember your accomplished, finished work in Christ. Also that you have a Savior who's alive and is with you today to deliver you, as he did David. And then thirdly, we are to remember as Christians not only what he's done for us, not only what he's promised to do, but also what he's going to do in the future for you. And this is the special thing about the helmet of salvation. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, when people say there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as a travail comes upon a woman with child, and there'll be no escape the day of the Lord. But you're not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of night or of darkness. Since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So the helmet is the hope of the future salvation that God has waiting for you. Do you get into your life and kind of start living like everybody else? The bronze helmet on your head and start thinking, well, I got the bills to pay and I got my general life here and I don't seem to really be going anywhere. You're starting to get weary in the battle, the days, the fight dragging on. Well, the helmet gives you endurance, gives you joy, gives you optimism because you say, just over the horizon, I can see it. It enables you to look and say, gleaming over that dark, sin-darkened horizon, I see my city. The better country, the heavenly Jerusalem. I see my hope of salvation, which God has laid out there for me. I think of a time when I was kayaking up in Cape Cod. And I went out on a foggy morning. I wanted a canoe or kayak over 3 miles to Nauset Beach. And I got out there and I thought I knew where I was going. But the fog was so thick and the wind died out and I just started doing circles and I paddled around for probably an hour. And I didn't know where on earth I was. I couldn't find land. And after about an hour, I finally hit landfall, thinking I was over at Nauset Beach, and I was right back at my own home. That happens when you wear the helmet of bronze and when you put on an earthly mindedness. But guess what happened? As an illustration. Just the sun right there just started to peek through a little bit. There was still totally dense fog all around me, but I could see the sun up above me. And from that point on land, I put the sun right down on the front of my kayak, and I just aimed right for that sun. Just kept paddling. I went for 40 minutes without seeing land whatsoever, right through the fog, a beeline, and when I finally saw land appear out of the mist, whoosh, what did I see? I was so on target, I was 10 yards within 10 yards of exactly where I was aiming after 40 minutes of paddling, because I kept before me that light, that sun, that hope of glory. And this is what we are to do as Christians. When you put on the helmet of salvation, you are to remember the hope of your salvation. You're not to be all just stuck in this world with an earthly mind, but to set it on things above and say, I see my Jerusalem. I see my better country. I see my heavenly world, and now I'm blinded by looking at these lights. Can't see you, but just listen to me. Isn't that what Jesus said when he says, men will be fainting with fear and foreboding at what's coming on the world? Powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then they'll see the Son of Man coming. And he says, 28, now when these things begin to take place, look up, raise your heads, for your salvation's drawing near. When the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, and you're getting all depressed at looking at the news, don't look down. Look up. Say, I see it. It's coming. It's soon. And what is that world going to be like? Revelation 22, there shall no more be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall worship him. They'll see his face. His name shall be on their foreheads. Night shall be no more. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Come on, this is just around the corner. You're going through the din of battle. Stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. This day the din of battle, the next the victor's song. The soldiers overcoming, their crown of life shall see, and with the King of glory shall reign eternally. So, to put on the helmet of salvation, you're putting on salvation in every way. What God has accomplished and finished on the cross. His promise to protect you today, if you'll simply look to him. And then also, the hope of your salvation, which is just around the corner, and which you're going to see. And you're going to be amazed, standing there on those golden shores. Wow, I'm really here. And God's promises have come true. Oh, that's great. So put this helmet on, and remember, God himself put on the helmet of salvation in his love for you, and has come down to save you, and to be your deliverer, and will be your deliverer. And 1 Samuel 17 says, and so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. I say to you, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.